Good morning.
Good morning.
Have you ever had a time where you're going through a trial or just a difficult situation and you couldn't wait for God to resolve it, so you were tempted to run ahead of God? Well, that's what we see happening to the nation of Israel in Isaiah 30. It starts off kind of strong. God's kind of getting on to them, but as the chapter goes on, he offers encouragement, and I just want you to listen. Isaiah 30, verses 1 to 5. "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and that cover with the covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt, and have not asked at my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. For his princes were at Zoan, and his ambassadors came to Hanes. They were all ashamed of a people that could not profit them, nor be a help nor profit, but a shame and also a reproach." What it's talking about is the nation of Assyria was coming against Israel. They were being threatened, and they were panicking. And they could have trusted God, or they could run and try to resolve things their own way. And that's what they did. They ran down to Egypt. God delivered them out of Egypt hundreds of years before. And instead of trusting God for that battle, for God to give them the victory, they're like, well, let's go down to the armies of Egypt. Let's get some horses. Let's get some, you know, their soldiers. And then we can face Assyria. But that wasn't what God wanted. They weren't trusting God. They were trusting in physical might, their own strength. Like we're talking about with David and Goliath, you know, it's like, saying, hey, where's Saul's armor? You know, let's go out. You know, but God didn't want that. A few verses later, it says, "For the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried this. Their strength is to sit still." God says, instead of going down to Egypt and where it says their strength was to no avail, their strength came to nothing. He says, your strength is to sit still and trust me. It reminds me of Psalm 46:10. "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." And the idea of being still is just stop clamoring, stop worrying, stop stressing, stop freaking out. You know, like Psalm 37, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. You know, fret not thyself because of evildoers." Stop worrying about all the people or the situations around you. Focus on the Lord and he'll give you the victory. In Exodus 14, it says when they left Egypt, the Egyptian army is following them, and they get to the Red Sea. No way to pass. And Moses says this, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see him again no more forever." They didn't go, well, we better start making boats. You know, we got to cross this Red Sea somehow. God put a pillar of fire behind them, protected them. The Egyptian army couldn't get closer. And all that night, Moses raised his staff, and God made a wind blow that dried up the part of the Red Sea that they could walk through. And God gave them the victory. They went through the Red Sea, and in the morning, the Egyptian army followed them, and the sea just buried them, basically. And but God says, your strength is to sit still. Your strength is to focus on me. Trust in me, and I will deliver you. A few verses later in the chapter, this is a pretty cool verse. Isaiah 30, verse 15 says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength, and you would not." This, at that time, the nation of Israel didn't trust him. But it's in here that we could learn from it. And we could have that quietness and confidence. We could have, by returning, we could have the rest by focusing on the Lord. And then verse 18, "And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you." Why does God not provide the delivery the instant you think he should? Because God says, I'm going to wait. I'm holding off. Because when I have my mercy on you, when I'm gracious to you, then it says, therefore he will be exalted. In God's time, he'll be glorified. And think about it. If you've ever gone through a really hard time and it looked like there was no end, there's no way out, but you decided you're going to keep your eyes on the Lord and then he does deliver, he gets glorified. And your faith is strengthened. And so the poem I want to share with you today, it's called Quietness and Confidence. The Lord really impressed chapter 30 on my mind, so I thought, well, normally I find a poem and then I try to find, you know, scriptures that kind of round out the poem, but this was the other way around. God impressed the passage on me, and it's like, okay, is there something I could find online, some solid poem that would fit? And I found a poem called Quietness and Confidence by E.J. Carr. The book was published in 1877. He wrote some hymns. One of them is the title of the book called Hand in Hand with Jesus. I'm not familiar with that hymn. I tried to look it up, but all they had was a tiny little image, which it wouldn't let me make bigger, so I couldn't read the lyrics, but probably in some old hymnals. But this is from him, from basically a 145-year-old poem, but the Word of God is always the same. God delivers his people the same today as he did in Bible times and throughout church history. I come to thee, O Lord, tonight, a glad and trustful child. Thy light has made my darkness light, thy love my heart beguiled. I came to thee by sin oppressed now many years ago, and I have found that perfect rest thou only canst bestow. My hand is placed in thine, my Lord, thou canst not lead me wrong. I stay my soul upon thy word, my pilgrim way along. Some call our life a wilderness, a desert dark and drear. To me this life is nothing less than heaven begun down here. They surely cannot know the grace which from thy presence flows, which makes the solitary place to blossom as the rose. They cannot know the joy there is, which I have claimed as mine, the joy, nay more, the perfect bliss in this great love of thine. O thou who to the mire and clay has stooped for one like me, thou who hast washed my sins away when nailed to Calvary's tree. O set their feet upon the rock who wander from thee still. At their dull hearts, O louder knock, and bend the stubborn will. Thou who hast put the glad news song within my mouth to praise, O let me all my way along fresh Ebenezer's raise. And let my life more holy be conformed to thy pure word, that those who are observing me may glorify the Lord. And when we trust in the Lord, and he brings us through, and we praise him, God gets all the glory. Thank you.